This is Becky Spieth, the Christian Direct Seller and Direct Sales Specialist, and I just want to welcome all of you this morning. Today's a beautiful day. I've been messaging many of my friends this morning that live up north, and I guess it's much, much colder up there than it is here in Texas, but I think it was like in the upper 40s, lower 50s when we were messaging back and forth this morning, but I just want to let you know that the love of the Lord is a radiant heat, and I want you to be on fire, blazing for Him by the time that we get off of our call today. I have a very, very encouraging message for you today, so I hope that you'll be encouraged, that you'll grab a note sheet, and if you do have prayer requests or praise reports, I will open the line at the end of the teaching just to take those for you. But let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start. Father God, thank you so much for our time together today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. We just want to just pour our hearts out to you and just say, Lord, here we are. Use us. We want to just let you know that we love you and we worship you and we come boldly before you with praise and thanksgiving, Lord. And I just ask that you would speak through my mouth of clay, that you would give me supernatural recall of your word and speak your wisdom, that it would not be anything of my flesh, Lord, but only you speaking in and through me. I don't take this lightly, that you have selected me and chosen me to speak in and through me, Lord. I just ask that you would speak through my mouth of clay, Lord, and that you would just bless those that are listening. I pray that all fear would be dispelled and faith would rise up in each one of us by hearing your word. We love you and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the things that I love about being when I was a child was really just learning about the Lord and learning about some of the stories. And I was fascinated with the Psalms because I just couldn't believe how beautifully they were written. And I also loved the fact that as I learned more about David, I learned that God said he was a man after his own heart. And I thought, I want to be a woman or a girl after God's heart. And when I become a woman, I want God to be able to say, oh, she definitely comes after my heart. She loves me. And so I just kept reading and reading. And one of the stories that I loved as a little girl, and I loved singing the song, was about David and Goliath. And I want to read just a little bit and encourage you about David and Goliath because, you know, when we hear the story, sometimes we think that it was all God. And it really didn't have anything to do with David at all, that, you know, God just performed this amazing miracle. And in a sense, of course, it was God working in and through David. But God didn't just all of a sudden say, hey, stand aside, David. I'm going to take your sling, and I'm going to take the stone, and I'm just going to go ahead and do this thing. David had a role to play, and God gave David the skill that he needed to develop in order to be prepared for that defining moment. And I know with each one of us, there have probably already up until this point been a defining moment in your life, maybe several. But I know if you're still breathing and if you're on this call, that you've got more defining moments waiting ahead of you. And like David, God has put skills inside of each one of us so that we can slay the giants in our life. You have the skills that can open up new doors, skills that can lead to an abundant life, but the key is that the skills have to be developed. And I think we kind of forget about this at times. Every day, we need to spend some time growing, learning, and improving. Because guess what? That's how we get more prepared for that new level. It tells us in the Word that God is the one that promotes. He's the one that takes you to the next level. He's the one that prepares you. I think that's why I fell in love with personal development and growth, even at such a young age. I used scripture when I was a little girl, and then I found self-development books, and I found John Maxwell and different things that have shaped my life. But I know that if I prepare now, God can use me mightily later on. So I want you to think about today. I want you to think about the opportunity that you're waiting for. I want you to, whether it's in your business or just in your life, I want you to think about what is needed in order for you to start sharpening your skills, Is it that you need to maybe study your manager or your director above you? Is it that you need to learn a new skill? Maybe you're not real great at phone conversation or coaching or understanding the personality so you understand communication style. Maybe you don't have a vision in place or a mission statement. Maybe you don't even have a business plan in place. Maybe you don't have a coach. Maybe you don't understand. You think you're a coach, but you're still telling people what to do. You're not a coach. Maybe you need to learn some skills. Maybe you just need customer service skills, or maybe you don't connect with your team on a regular basis and you feel ashamed or uncertain. If any of those are the cases, those are all skills that can be learned and developed. I can help you with that. God's connected us for a reason. I want you to think about what you need to do. I want you to start acting like the next position that you want to have, whether it's moving up to director or national director or whatever it is. Start acting like that. Start confessing it. That way there, you'll be able to step into those shoes. When God sees that you're prepared, then he can open up the new doors. The scripture says your gifts will make room for you. So keep developing your skills, because guess what? There is a great giant slayer inside of each of you. So let's look at what David did. If we look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, and David said to Saul, and this is when Saul was like, they couldn't believe the Philistines. He had just been anointed. He's been praying the harp for Saul because Saul's been having migraines. And then he goes back out and he works in the field taking care of his sheep for his dad, and he's just a shepherd boy and nobody's thinking much of him, even though his introduction to the king, King Saul, was through playing his harp, and he was so tormented by this evil spirit. He had terrible migraines and was just beside himself, and when David would play for him, the spirit left. He had great power and anointing, but he didn't necessarily have the skill at that point, I don't believe, in order to slay the giant. So it goes on to say, and now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle and were assembled in Socah, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socah and, I hate these kind of words, Azekah. Saul and the men of Israel were encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. So they got all their garb on, okay? They've got all the outside stuff. But not one felt they had the skill or the confidence to go and slay this giant. And he kept just harassing the Israelites and making fun of them. And David was sent, again, just as a servant. He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. His dad says, hey, take your brothers some food. I'm really concerned about them. Because back then, they didn't have commissaries. They weren't funded necessarily by the government for their food. The family sent food in. So David went in, and he could not believe it, that the men stood there afraid. And David said to the men standing, this is verse 26, by him, what shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He was appalled. He couldn't believe it. He could not believe it. And what he saw is why he said uncircumcised, just so you know, it was that he was saying, these people are not even in the covenant of God. We're in the covenant of God. God is our covenant partner. He is, you know, I'm in the praising department, but he's in the problem-solving department, and he can solve all of our problems. And do you know what his oldest brother said? Well, first off, let me tell you, they did tell him what would happen, but then his brother Eliab, his eldest brother, heard what he said to the men, and he was so angry. I think he was kind of embarrassed, to be honest with you, but I think he says here he was so angry, and his anger was kindled against David, and he said, why do you come here? With whom you have left those few sheep in the wilderness, I know your presumption and your evilness of your heart, for you came down that you might see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not a harmless question? And David turned away from Eliab, to another, and he asked the same question, and again the men gave him the same answer. And when David's words were heard, they were repeated to Saul, and he sent for him. So evidently, nobody else in the camp, all these soldiers, none of them were saying, hey, I think I might be interested. And Saul's like, hey, if we got one person that's kind of interested, I want to know. And I want to take just a second here and talk about his brother before we go on to finish talking about slaying the giants. Because David believed that with God's help, he could do anything. He could slay that giant. But his brother accused him with presumption and that he had an evil heart. And I don't know about you, but in my journey, in my business, and in my ministries, I've been attacked many times by people that I loved, cared about, thought were my friends. Some of them were my family. Some of them were my upline. Some of them were my pastors. And they said, I can see the evil in your heart. And there was none. David was wise. And his response to Eliab was just as important of a key to his future. David turned away from him. He didn't get involved in it. He didn't have to justify himself. He didn't have to say, let me show you, let me prove to you I'm a good person. When we take a step of faith to do something for God or to help hurting people or want to move forward because we know with our businesses, because they're relationship businesses, that we can impact not just individuals, but we can impact families, cities, states, nations. We can impact this world. That a lot of times, someone else, especially somebody that we love, will try to make us feel worthless, rejected, unaccepted, inept, and really out of place. We have to stand against these attacks, and we need to keep our eyes on God and His direction to us, because God fills our hearts with faith, enabling us to believe that He can use us. But Satan and the enemy comes against us with fears, often with fears about ourselves and our abilities. They try to take out our confidence. David's older brothers didn't include David in all the things that they did because they thought he was too young, and they thought, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I think it was because they were jealous of him. And as a result, I'm sure he felt rejected. Many times God will choose to use people who have felt rejected to be and been excluded because he selects those whom society would reject in order to show himself strong. He also purposely chooses what the world would call weak and foolish so no one takes the credit that's due to him alone because he wants the glory, right? Tells us that in 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29. So I want to encourage you. If you're in your journey and you feel like you've got a big lion, a big bear, or even a big giant in front of you, and you've been rejected or ill-treated, I want to encourage you to do just like David did. Turn away from it. Forgive your enemies and do not, this is really important, do not let offense fill your heart. Don't pay attention to what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to distract you. Keep your eyes on God and follow His instructions. God can use you to do great things. You've got greatness inside of you. You've got the God of the universe living inside of you. He's not looking for somebody that has great ability. He's looking for somebody with availability, with a surrendered heart that wants to serve Him. He's not looking for somebody that's perfect. He's not looking to somebody that's strong and bold and proud, but yet afraid to enter into the battle. Keep your heart pure by refusing to allow hatred, strife, offense, bitterness, resentment, or unforgiveness to dwell in it. Now, for those of you that are new to the call, I want to encourage you to go to my website, beckyspieth.com, BeckySpieth.com. If you go to the free section, there's a prayer about forgiveness. If you've been wronged by someone, I want you to go there. You can print that off. It's a free gift to you, or you can just read it right there. But I want to make sure that you don't have offense in your heart because unforgiveness blocks our prayers. I always believe what God says about you above your own feelings about yourself, too. Sometimes it's not other people that we need to forgive. It's what we've told ourselves or the lies that we've believed. God says you belong to Him. He loves you, and He will work through you. He wants to do amazing things more than you could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine, according to Ephesians 3:20. You have infinite worth and value. Perhaps the world would not consider you usable material, but He sees you differently. than what the world says. So do just like Samuel did when he was with Eli, and he kept hearing someone calling his voice. He thought it was the priest, but it was God, and he finally said, "Here I am. Use me." That's what you can do. Let's see what David did. Let's go on down to verse 34. And David said to Saul, "Your servant. Your servant kept his father's sheep, and when there came a lion or again a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it, and I smote it, and I delivered the lamb out of his mouth." I want to stop here for a quick second. He didn't let anybody or anything, no matter how powerful, no matter how scary, take away the blessing that God promised him. Go after your business. Go after your goal. Go after your vision, just like it says here that David did. That's the first thing. Okay, so when something came after, and it happened again and again, what did he do? He said, "You know what? I went after it. I smote it. I killed it." I want to encourage you, because God wants you to go after your goal. I know there's somebody on the call here today that you've been disheartened, you've been discouraged. Maybe you fought a bear, you fought a lion, and they keep coming. And maybe you find yourself on the battlefield with the giant, even at this moment. Go after it. Smote it. Kill it. That's what God wants you to do. And then let's keep going on the verse. "And when it arose against me," because what does it say? Do they just come and, you know, you're going to go and take the lamb or your inheritance or your business outside of this mouth of this enemy? Are they just going to lay down and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, didn't mean to do that to you"? No, they're going to rise up against you. Don't be surprised by it. What did he say? He says, "I caught it by its beard and I smote it and I killed it." You've got that same power inside of you. Take this direction. And it also goes on to say, "Your servant killed both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." He's defied and come against what my covenant partner has said is going to happen in and through me. I'm not going to stand and take it. I'm not going to be like the rest of this army. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to stand out. I'm going to do what God said to do. He also goes on in verse 37, it says, "David said, the Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." What he did is he didn't sit there and he didn't say, "Oh, this looks scary. I don't know if I can do this. Oh, God, please help me. I don't know if I can handle this. Lord, I'm uncertain." No, he said, "I know what my covenant partner said I can do. I'm going to stand in it. I'm not going to take this. I'm going to go and do something about it." He had a positive confession without doubt of faith. He knew that his covenant partner had his back, just like you should know your covenant partner, God, the Almighty God, has your back, and he wants you to go out there, and he wants to kill the lion. He wants you to kill the bear, and then he's going to, as they rise up, he's going to still give you victory, and then there might be a giant, and you might have all these people around watching you, and they're all chicken, and they're not stepping into their God-given talent. They need somebody just like you, the person that they wouldn't even have ever imagined or thought could do it, might be too young, might be too weak, might be too old, might be too whatever. You might not even fit into the armor. He couldn't even fit into any armor. He was so small. He's going to say, "I want you. I've selected you. Right now's your time. Stand against the giant. I've prepared you. Your skill is in place. I've got this with you and through you." If you want to do something for God, you have to understand that there's going to be hundreds, maybe thousands of times that the enemy's going to come against you and discourage you. Why? Because he knows that you must have courage to go forward and fulfill God's plan for your life. You have to believe in your covenant partner. That's all it's going to take. But I want to encourage you, just like we talked about earlier, to prepare the skill now. If you don't find yourself facing a giant today, you will, because you've got a call on your life. You've got something amazing that God wants to do in and through you. You know, I know maybe you might be feeling discouraged today, but I want to give you a few more verses. Deuteronomy 8:18 that says, "God has given us the ability to create wealth." He's given you that ability already. You've already got that skill inside of you. Claim that verse. Believe and stand and confess, just like David did. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. That's what you've been commissioned to do. You're a manager of the gifts God's given you. They might be great or they might be small in your eyes, but they matter to God. And he can use the most insignificant and make it significant. 1 Corinthians 4:2 tells us, now it's required that those who have been given a talent or are stewards of the gift of God must prove faithful. All you have to do is start acting on them. If we use our talents wisely, God will give us more. So if we use our time wisely, God's going to give you more time. If you use your energy wisely, God will give you more energy. And if you use your influence wisely, God will increase your influence. God will bless your faithfulness. He tells us that faith without works is dead. What do we do for works? I'm not saying that I'm a works person, that you've got to really do a lot of works. But what I am saying is, how do we work out our faith? We act like the Bible is true as much as we possibly can. Some of you might know some of the things that I've gone through, and some of you may not, but I want to just encourage you. I've been on bed rest or in the hospital all but about 10 days in the last 3 months. And I was encouraged once again to go on bed rest. The doctor said if I didn't go on bed rest about a week and a half ago, almost 2 weeks ago, that he was going to put me back in the hospital. I'm not willing to let the enemy take me out. God has a plan for me. I'm going to act like my Bible is true. I'm going to stand on the Word of God. I'm going to do what he tells me to do, and I'm going to walk out my faith. I want to encourage you to do the same. There's so much you can do. I'll be honest with you. When the doctors told me that again, I just couldn't believe it. And I literally broke down and I cried and I said, you know, God has so much for me. I'm not going to sit back. So we came up with a plan, the doctor and I, and he's not a believer, but he says his wife is. And I said, I'm not going to sit back. He says, I've never seen anyone so tenacious about wanting to serve God and to serve people. I figured out a way that I could work from bed. We figured out a way that wouldn't destroy my health so that I can rest in him and rest in the Lord and receive the healing that he has for me, but not let a lion or a bear or a giant take me out. I'm going after them. I'm slaying them. And I'm making a difference. So I don't know what your giant is before you. I don't know if you're facing a bear or a lion, or you're just sitting out playing your harp and sitting under the anointing of the Lord. But I want you to ask the Lord, what can you do today? What skill do you need to work on today? What do you need to prepare so that you can be ready for that next level of promotion? And if that giant does come, you know that the covenant partner, the Almighty God of the universe, the one that lives inside of you and wants to work in and through you to do amazing things, he's got your back. You can do this. Well, I hope you were encouraged today. I'm going to unmute the lines real quick. We've got about 5 minutes left, so we can take a few prayer requests and praise reports, and then we'll go ahead and go to prayer. Anybody else have a prayer request or a praise report or even have just a comment from today? If you're muted, I don't hear anybody talking, so if you're talking, you might want to hit star 6 on your own line so that you can unmute yourself and come back in. Okay, well, I'm guessing nobody has a prayer request or a praise report or even a comment, so I'm going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we love you and we thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have been preparing and building my faith and keeping me strong and keeping those that are listening on this call or this recording strong in their faith, that you've been developing skills. Lord, we know that you have great and mighty things to work in and through us. And not because we're great, but because you are great. And we want to give you all the glory. So, Lord, we're laying down our lives before you. We come to you studying to show ourselves approved. We're coming, giving you the renewing of our mind through your word, standing in unwavering faith, telling you, Lord, use us. Use us. Show us the skill that we need to develop. Ask us, Lord, I just ask that you will just ask us to serve you in a new way, a new way. Lord, I pray that we don't cower back from the lions or the bears or even the giants in our life, but, Lord, that you will rise up mighty and strong and bold inside of each person, that favor goes out before each person. And, Lord, I ask that if there is any unforgiveness, if we haven't turned away from those that are scoffing or teasing or telling us that we're not good or trying to make us feel like we're inept, Lord, I ask that you would forgive us and that we would forgive each one of those people that have offended us, that we wouldn't take up offense because we don't want our prayers hindered. We want to serve you in a new and a mighty way. Lord, I thank you that you've given us amazing skills and talents already. Help us to use them, be wise stewards of them. You tell us in your word that regardless, we've all been given a measure of faith and that you've given each one of us skills and talents, and we don't want to bury them. We want to uncover them. We want to help them to grow. Lord, if we've been unfaithful with our time, we ask forgiveness. We ask that you give us more time. And Lord, if we've been unfaithful with our energy and haven't used it wisely, I pray that you will give us more energy. If you, Lord, if we haven't used our influence to the degree or the magnitude that you would want us to, we ask forgiveness. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to have more influence, increase our influence. We know that leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. How do we get influence, Lord? We know it comes from truly connecting, not just throwing communication out, but truly connecting. Lord, we know that you want to bless our faithfulness. And you tell us if we have the faith of a mustard seed, a little tiny bit, that you can do amazing things in and through us. And you also tell us in your word that you want to give us anything that we would ask. So, Lord, we ask now. We ask now that you would raise our faith, that you would grow our faith, that all fear would be gone, that we would feel just like David did, bold and confident. Lord, we know that he took the stones, not just one stone, because there were other brothers. He didn't have a lack of confidence in you. He knew immediately that the giant would be slayed when he came into complete covenant with you and took that step of action. He went out onto the battlefield. He stepped out with exactly what you had given him already, the stones, the sling. He didn't wear armor. He didn't think he had to prepare anymore. He went out and he slayed the giant. So, Lord, I don't know what the giants are before each and every person on this call, but, Lord, you do know that. Help them see that you've got their back, that you're doing this, and it's in and through you because you are our covenant partner, that they are going to slay their giants, that there is no fear, only courage, boldness, and faith. Lord, we do just praise you and we thank you for this man that overdosed. We praise you that he's woke up, that you are a God of second chances, that you love us so much. Lord, I pray that you would have someone come and speak to him almost on a constant basis, Lord, your word, encouraging him, that he would grow and get strengthened in your word, and he would see that you love him, and he's still here because you have something else for him to do. Lord, we know that he still needs your prayer. Oh, he still needs your love. He still needs your goodness. He needs your healing. Lord, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that his body be completely restored, that his mind becomes like the mind of Christ, that it is renewed through the hearing of your word, that he becomes a strong and mighty witness, because you tell us in your word in Revelation that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony, and loving not our lives unto death. So, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to strengthen him as he becomes a great testimony for you, and that we would be faithful in using our own testimonies to serve and further your kingdom. We love you, Father God. We thank you for our time today. Lord, I thank you that you're growing our group, that you are encouraging our group, and that this would be a time that would be so precious. It would be on our calendars that we would look forward to Monday morning at 8:30 every single week to spend this time with you, to start our weeks off together, joined in faith, supporting each other, and moving forward to be your ministers in the marketplace. We love you and we thank you. We give you all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope you guys were encouraged today. I have one other thing that I want to just mention, so please don't hang up. I have a pastor friend here in San Antonio, and he and his family have actually moved here from Spain to start churches, and they're evangelizing here in San Antonio. And they are in need for blankets and box springs. And so I wondered if you have on your heart the desire to help support an amazing work of God. This man has multiple churches. He's an apostle, and he's an incredible man, and his wife and his daughter are just incredible people. But they could use a few things into their place. And if you have it on your heart that you'd like to be able to donate to them, would you private message me on Facebook so that we can connect? I need your phone number so I can call you back, and I promise you that we will use those funds very, very wisely. I don't ever ask for money unless the Lord really lays it on my heart. And as I was praying and preparing for today, he asked me to mention this to you. The funds will not be used for anything for me. Definitely going just right for paying for blankets and a box springs for this pastor and this apostle. You're planting seeds into good ground when you do that, and you will also reap a portion of their harvest in heaven. So if that's something you might be interested in, just message me on Facebook. I hope you have an amazing week. I hope you were encouraged today. And I just want you to know that I love you, and I'll be praying for you. If you have more prayer requests, if you didn't feel comfortable or were uncertain about making your prayer requests known today, you can always private message them to me or post them on the Facebook page, The Christian Direct Seller. God bless you. I love you, and I can't wait to be back with you again next Monday. If you need anything in the meantime, if you need any services or support with your business, you can also private message me as well. God bless you. I love you, and I'll be with you next week. Bye now.